Welcome to ChatGPT Curious, a podcast for people who are, well, curious about ChatGPT. I'm your host, Dr. Shantae Cofield, also known as the Maestro, and I created this show to explore what ChatGPT actually is.
Really, though, are the files in the computer?
How to use it, and what it might mean for how we think, work, create, and move through life. Whether you're skeptical, intrigued, or already experimenting, you're in the right place. All that I ask is that you stay curious. All right, let's get into it. Hello, 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 my curious people, and welcome to episode 11 of ChatGPT Curious. I am your most grateful host, the Maestro, and today we are talking about custom GPTs. If you've listened to every episode thus far, thank you, but you may have heard me circle the drain with this topic. I kind of talking about it, alluding to it. I was like, I don't really understand the utility of this. But today we are jumping all the way in because I finally jumped all the way in and I built one myself. So we are answering the question, what the fuck is a custom GPT? So real quick before we hop on in, two things. Number one, welcome to October. I do like to add a bit of timeliness to these somewhat evergreen episodes. Right? Evergreen meaning they're kind of like always relevant. That is until the tech changes, but you know, you can listen to this thing anytime and it's still going to be relevant. But this episode is going to drop on October 2nd. So if you're listening to it on the day that it drops, welcome to October. And number two, thank you for the dope convos and reviews. Like, I had a really, 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 really good convo with, why am I saying convo? Really great conversation with the homie Kate. She also left a dope-ass fucking review. Thank you. And I'm actually going to circle back to her at the end of this episode and share how she's been using ChatGPT. But, you know, podcasting is a very unidirectional process. If you listen to my Maestro on the Mic episodes, that podcast rather, I say this all the time. It's a very unidirectional process. You're just like talking at the screen. And I do love that. But it is really, really dope to hear from listeners and to hear that things are helpful and that you're curious. So thank you for sharing that with me. And yes, that is my way of encouraging more of that. So custom GPTs, let's get into it. All right, as a refresher, right, GPT, ChatGPT, and we're talking about custom GPTs. GPT stands for Generative Pre-trained Transformer. You can head back to episode one for the full refresher. I know that episode was heavy. It had a lot. People's heads fell off. Go back and listen to it because I bet you will understand more now. But go check out episode one. But generative, let's define and talk about each of these words. Generative, that means that it doesn't just look things up. It's generating new text. Pre-trained. Before it is released to the public, it is trained on massive amounts of likely illegally obtained text where it, quote unquote, learns patterns, right, of how words connect. And then the new word for us that we've yet to go over, transformer, generative pre-trained transformer. Transformer speaks to what the model is actually doing in order to generate that output. Right, here we go. Gets a little bit deep now. It's transforming vectors. So take a breath, folks. Okay, here we go. Natural language, right? With the stuff that we type in to the prompt box, prompt field, whatever you want to call it. Natural language, that gets broken down into tokens, right? Tokens are chunks of characters. Again, we talked about this in episode one. You can go back to that. We type something in. It gets broken down internally into these chunks of characters that are called tokens. Tokens are represented by a series of numbers, and this series of numbers is called a vector. The model, it then takes each vector and it transforms it into another vector. Right? It goes from one set of numbers, one series of numbers, to another series of numbers. And this next, second, series of numbers better represents and expresses how that vector is related to the other words around it, right? How that chunk of text is related to the other text that's around it, right? This is how the word bank can mean money in one sentence and Riverside in another sentence. This is how it understands that, quote unquote, understands, right? The vector, the series of numbers, is being transformed based on context. This transforming, it happens many times based on the number of what's called transformer layers that a model has. And then from here, we will get an output. We talked about this before. We get an output that is based on probability and the model predicting the most likely next token. I know that it's a little confusing, but again, summary there. It is all math and it's really fucking cool and complex math. And if you're curious, feel free to hit rewind and listen again. Maybe one day I'll do a deeper dive on this. I get curious about it. And so this was actually pretty fun for me to sit with ChatGPT. This is how I learned this stuff and understand what vector meant and what transform actually meant. And I hear it in some of the YouTube videos I watch, those MIT classes and things. And I'm like, what the fuck? And so to sit and like kind of sit with it and go through it, I'm like, okay, this is cool, right? So we're going to move on. Because I know that you're like, you've already lost me. We're 5 minutes in my show, you lost me. So we're going to move on. But GPT means generative pre-trained transformer. Generative meaning generating new text. Pre-trained meaning it's trained before it reaches the public. And then we just use it, right? It's all locked in and then we just get to use it. And then transformer meaning the model transforms the inputs to the most accurately, the model transforms the inputs to most accurately represent relationships between words so that it can generate the output that is most likely to be correct. Right? I try to be pretty specific with the language I use because it does matter. And I do think that over time, as we move towards more advanced, you know, AI, using words like understand and reasoning, that is important. That's a lot of marketing speak there. And it's like, does it actually understand? Does it actually know? Is it actually reasoning? Probably not. All right. So I try to be specific and intentional and accurate with these words. So that's why some of this gets a little bit wordy, but I do think in the long run, it is important to lean on that. So now that your brain is broken, let's talk about a custom GPT. So a custom GPT is basically your own version of ChatGPT that works based on the instructions that you give it. If, folks, you have ever said, I want to clone myself, this is how you do it. All right. And namely, when you're saying, I want to clone myself so that like people keep fucking asking me these questions. I wish I could just clone myself. This is how you do it. This right here is how you do it. Get excited. So I titled this episode, What the fuck is a custom GPT? Intentionally. I did not title it How to Build a Custom GPT. To that end, I'm going to kind of cover how to build one, but for the deep dive on how to create one, how to build one, I'm going to refer you to the Help Center. I talked about that resource last week, maybe last week's episode. The weeks escaped. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I think. The episode that was like features you may not know about. So I will link that in the show notes. But if you go to the FAQ in the OpenAI Help Center about GPTs, I know there's a lot of acronyms there, but it's in there and I will link it for you. You just go to the show notes, okay? So what we're really going to focus on is what it is. What is a custom GPT? So I'm going to start off with how I use it, what I did, how like what this thing is that I made, so you can get a better understanding of what the fucking custom GPT is, because I feel like it can kind of be nebulous, like kind of nebulous topic, like, wait, what's going on? So I'm just going to tell you how I used it, what I did, and I think it'll give you a good representation of like, oh, I understand. So last week, I quote unquote built a custom GPT for my Instagram intensive, right? I'm using built in air quotes, you can't see me. But hopefully I emphasized it as having air quotes because it doesn't require any special coding or anything like that, which, like I've said in previous episodes, is the real magic of LLMs, right? ChatGPT is a type of LLM, large language model. The real magic is that they allow you to execute tasks by just inputting natural language, just typing shit. That's fucking dope. All right, so last week I quote unquote built this custom GPT for my Instagram intensive. My Instagram intensive is a 6-week online group coaching program that I run, and it teaches health and fitness pros exactly how to use Instagram for online business. I am calling this custom GPT that I made my ChatGPT-A. All right, ChatGPT-A. You might understand my goal for this thing / its utility in understanding it that way. They're hearing the name, right? It's the TA. All right, that is how I'm using it for this course. The goal of this custom GPT, the reason I made it, is that if my students, people enrolled in the program, have a question about literally anything related to the program, all right, any question that they would ask me, they can just ask the GPT, the custom GPT. I guess I'm going to be there, but for the times that I'm not with them, we have a Facebook group and things like that, but I'm like, yo, you have this, you have access to this thing. You don't have to wait until next week. You don't have to put it in the Facebook group and wait till I see it. You can ask it right away. All right, so if they want to ask logistics, which I think is like less of an issue, but if they want to ask logistics about the course, they can. If they want to ask for feedback on content, if they want help or ideas for creating content, if they want to ask the custom GPT anything, right, it will give them the same answer that I would give them, right, in my voice, in my tone, with my values, and that's fucking dope. But how? Because I gave it the instructions. I uploaded the files that will serve as its knowledge base, and I set the capabilities that it has. Again, no coding needed. That's amazing. OpenAI actually makes it really easy to build one. They have what's called the GPT Builder. There are two modes in the Builder. There's create and configure. And in the create, like, it's like a toggle at the top. In the create mode, you can just have a conversation with ChatGPT and it'll walk you through what you need and like how to build it, which is amazing. The configure mode, like the when you toggle it over, that's where you actually input the information yourself. And I will link that as well. It'll take you directly to the Builder. Pretty amazing. I use the configure side of things, but I'm going to walk you through kind of how I did it and just the overview of this, right? So how good this custom GPT is, right? AKA how much it sounds like you, how correct the outputs that it generates, how correct they are. That is fully based on how good of instructions you give it and the quality of the files that you upload, right? We've been saying this every single episode. The better the input, the better the output. So for my intensive, I teach from outlines, right? They are very, very in-depth outlines. I don't stray from them. Everything is on them. Everything that I'm going to say and teach in that program is in those outlines. So to create my custom GPT, I uploaded every single call outline, right? I also uploaded a file that has all of the copy from the sales pages. So like all the logistics and things like that are in that file as well. I also uploaded some of my sales emails because the sales emails capture how I teach, how I write, how I speak, what I value, and what I emphasize about the intensive. But circling back to what I said just a little bit ago, I didn't use the builder to create this custom GPT. I actually made a project first inside of ChatGPT. And I uploaded all of those documents that I just said. I uploaded all of those to the project. So basically, I looked to create what's called, like, we'd call like a sandbox in the kind of developer world. But I looked to create an environment that knew about me and knew about my intensive. And then I wanted to have that thing help me create this custom GPT. Right. So that's why I did it this way. I will link the episode. That's episode 6, where I talk about projects. Right. So inside of this project that I made first, I started a conversation with ChatGPT and I was like, hey, I've uploaded all these files and I made it project memory only for the project. Right? So it can only like access things that I've uploaded. It's not like going to the other parts of ChatGPT. So I started the conversation with ChatGPT and I said, within this project, and I said, you know, I want to build this custom GPT for this program, and I asked it to help me out. I said, can you give me some instructions? Let me know what to think about. Let me know what, you know, I need in order to create this custom GPT and help me build it. And I imagine this is like what happens inside of the builder as well, but I wasn't aware that the builder existed when I was building it. So I was like, fuck, I'm just going to ask it how to do it. And the lesson here that I try to hammer home in as many episodes as possible is always ask ChatGPT to help you and to tell you how to use ChatGPT. It's amazing. So if we zoom out for a second, that's how my brain works. The goal here, if you want to create the best custom GPT, right, where it gives the best, most correct answers, it sounds like you, it's got your vibe. The way that you do that is to upload files that it can read so that it knows the content, right, stuff that you're talking about. And if you want it to be a clone of you, want it to sound like you, you need to upload documents so that it knows you. All right, so to know the content that you want it to be helping you with and you know, the students and the people, whoever are going to be asking about, you just upload files that contain that content. It's very simple. So obviously, if your program is older, if you have a lot of reps with things, this is much easier because you've already generated all this stuff. Like this will be my 17th round of the intensive. I know this thing in and out. I know the values. I know my values. I know what the purpose of this thing is. I know this thing. Just like, this is my shit. Right. If you're just starting with a program, it can be a little harder because you're like, I think that maybe they might have these questions. I think this is like, I want to emphasize this, but I fucking know. And I have all the content already. I have all the sales pages. I have everything. right? So I uploaded all of that. So again, for this thing to have mastered the content, right? And for it to know all of the content, you have to upload files that contain the content. Very simple. For this custom GPT to know you, to sound like you, to be able to be like, yo, I am the best TA in the world, you have to upload files that contain you. The easiest way, in my opinion, to do this, right, to upload, to create these files that contain you and your essence, is to create a file by having ChatGPT interview you. Easy, right? A little hack here is that, so remember, I made a project. Clearly, I'm excited about this, right? I made a project for this intensive, and it had all of the stuff, everything that I've ever done with the intensive, all of the things, like all of the weekly calls, any supporting documents, my emails, the copy from the sales, all these things. So it has like, it has a baseline understanding of me. So I had it interview me, but I also had it answer the questions as well. So here's the little bit of a hack is that you can be like, hey, I want to create a master document that, you know, really portrays and conveys my essence. Can you interview me? Can you interview me one question at a time? And then when it asks you the question, instead of you answering, you can say, based on what you know about me, what would you say? How would you answer this question? And then it's going to give you an answer. And then you can just correct the answer as needed, because some of them you're like, ah, that's spot on. Great, right? Because it's pulling from the stuff that you've uploaded already. So you, from there, you have it ask all the questions. If you're like, hey, I want you to ask me some more questions, I feel like you haven't really like done a complete job, cool, then I'll ask you some more questions. From there, you can have it compile all of those answers to those questions into a single document, right? Call it a manifesto, whatever. And then you upload that document to the custom GPT files. Amazing, right? The other part of creating the best custom GPT is giving it the best instructions, right? So we have two, it's like a two-pronged approach here, the best context and then the best instructions. In order to create the best instructions, aka prompts, which we've talked about a million times, ask ChatGPT to write the instructions for you. All right, if you always want this custom GPT to say some specific thing, right, then this is how you do that. All right, if you always want the custom GPT to reference a certain document, this is how you get it to do that. It's with the instructions, but this is how you quote unquote program it to do that. The tone that this custom GPT has, the voice, the guardrails, all of this goes into the instructions. And my very strong suggestion is to have ChatGPT write those instructions for you. Okay? A little bit more advanced here, right? This next step here. But if you go into the help center, which I said I strongly advise you to do as you're going to, if you're going to build out one of these custom GPTs, if you go to the help center, it talks about like best practices for creating a GPT. And one of the things that it talks about is creating what's called markdown files. And markdown files are just a type of plain text file. And we want to create these because it's just faster for ChatGPT to reference them. It doesn't have all the other bullshit in the file. So I did do this, and ChatGPT instructed me to do this. And you can ask it, like, how do I create that? And it'll tell you, like, open the text editor, save it as this. It'll actually create the thing that you're going to paste into the markdown file. So like it's doing all the heavy lifting. You just have to kind of like execute the little steps. But that is just for those of you that are with me and you're like, oh, I'm understanding. This is exciting. You want to create those markdown files because it is faster for ChatGPT to reference those and read those things. Okay. So the last part, and again, this episode isn't about how to make a custom GPT. But I know I've thrown some stuff in there, and I also want to give you as many heads up as I can. The last part is setting the custom GPT's capabilities. You can allow it or disallow it to search the internet. You can allow it or not to have people be able to upload files. These are going to be toggle on-off fields, right? Fields that you can toggle on and off. And you can ask ChatGPT to help you to decide how to set them based on your specific use case and be like, should I have it on? Should I have it not have it on? And it'll walk you through that, right? From here, once you have all that stuff done, you hit publish and you get to set who has access to it. It will generate a link and then you can share that link with your people. That's fucking awesome. I would suggest that you test it, aka you ask it things and you see what kind of output it gives you before you share the link with, you know, if you're like making it for a course. I would say test it yourself and also have like some people that are close to you test it. I did. I had my sister test it. I had my brother test it. I had Lex test it. I had some folks that are in my ecosystem that I was like, hey, I made this thing, like play around with it. And then I can tweak the files and instructions as needed and just be like, is this thing good? And like, sometimes it's tough for you to like pretend that you're the user. So it can be good to just like give it to someone that would be a user and be like, hey, what do you think? But I gave it to my brother to try, and I actually went back and added an about me file because I sent it to him. And the first question he asked was, what's my favorite color? And it responded that it didn't know and to contact the support, you know, the support email. And I was like, hey, maybe I should put that in there. I don't know if people are going to be using it in that way, but like it would be fun to have it actually give an answer to things. Because I actually had my girl Claudia try it. And one of the first things she wrote was, why is the Maestro retiring the program? And I was like, these are things that I wouldn't think to quote unquote program it to have an answer for. And the answer that it generated was really good. And you can have this as one of the guardrails, right, in the instructions and be like, do not make anything up. If you do not know, if it's not in the files that are there, the reference files, then say this specific thing, right? And so I do have that in my instructions as well. But I did go back and, you know, after the testing and change some stuff. So to summarize, my friends, a custom GPT is basically your own version of ChatGPT that works based on the instructions that you give it. If we zoom out, the goal, if you're looking to create the best custom GPT, right, where it gives the best, most correct answers, and it sounds like you and feels like you, the way that you do that is to upload files that it can read so that it knows the content of whatever the fuck it is that you're training it on. And if you want it to be a clone of you, you have to upload files so that it, quote unquote, knows you. Right? The two prongs that we have of creating the best custom GPT are giving it the best context / content and giving it the best instructions. Right? Of note, because if you're sitting here being like, how fucking long does this take? It took me a work day to do it. I sat there on a Saturday and I had volleyball on and TV and I built it. Then, well, with that, and I was like, this is a really cool outcome. So it wasn't something that took me a million years. Again, I already had all the documents, I already had things made, aside from the kind of manifesto and I did the about me actually a few days ago, but I did it in less than a day. All right. So some use cases for this, clearly, like, why would you make a custom GPT? Is to clone yourself. In previous episodes, I have talked about how I have yet to really see a good internal facing use case. And when I say internal facing, meaning that only you as the user have access to it, right? Only you as the person who's programmed it have access to it. Especially given that projects now have project only memory. And I still think that's largely the case. Like, the main use for these is for external facing use cases, like when you want to share this thing with other people and have other people access it, which it's fucking dope, right? It is perfect for creating a TA of sorts, which is why I'm calling it ChatGPTA. All right, so how I use ChatGPT this week, right? Every episode, if you're new to the show, I include a section where I briefly discuss how I use ChatGPT that week, that day. And clearly, this entire episode was how I use ChatGPT this week. But to circle back to the opening part of the episode where I shouted out the homie Kate, I want to talk about how she's been using it, right? Kate is a very curious human. She's a PhD. She's a big brain, just big, you know, curious human. Big curiosity. So she has been using ChatGPT for certain things and Claude for certain things. And I'm very intentionally sharing this because last week's episode, the homie Rachel asked about ChatGPT versus Gemini. And I said, use whatever the fuck you want, like use whatever you like. And so here's a use case where someone is using both. And so Kate is using Claude for her full-time job to help her with her full-time job as a professor, right? She's writing a shit ton of curriculum, so it's not her own it's not going to be her own intellectual property. And she uses it to give her outlines, ask it for help brainstorming, having it create artifacts, which I like didn't know what that meant until she like went on to elaborate. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. It's called artifacts. So things like documents, templates, guidelines, discussion prompts, pulling out key ideas. And then she's using ChatGPT for life stuff. So personal development, communication with her partner, frameworks for, you know, how we relate to each other, attachment styles, things like that, using it for conflict resolution and understanding each other's perspectives. Two different use cases, right? That's great. Not to say that one is better than the other. They both do things. Like, they both have, in my opinion, they both have caught up. And what tends to happen, and I think is very much the case for me, is this, like, I'm so deep into using one that I'm like, well, I'm not switching over. Like, the thought of having to, like, learn that and train it and feel like I have to train it, I'm just like, oh, I'm here. But I always want to expose you folks to people using things in different ways and give you permission that you don't need to try the things and stay curious and be curious. Right. So Kate did have a question. She had a few questions, and I fucking love them. But the one that ties into the episode was, how can I have ChatGPT have one mode for one thing versus another mode for something else? And she answered her own question, which would be to have a project with project-only memory, or, as ties into this episode, a custom GPT. What's worth noting here is that custom GPTs don't save individual conversations. So if you want to keep whatever, you know, y'all talking about in with that, you know, when you use this custom GPT, you have to copy it somewhere else, which is also worth noting if you are sharing this with students, something like that, especially people that have been using ChatGPT, because they're going to think that, like, oh, the conversations will just be saved in there and I can go back to it. No, they go away. They're done. So if you want to, you know, have them there, you need to copy them. If you do want it to remember the past conversations and pull from them, then you'd actually want to make a project that uses project-only memory instead of making a custom GPT, right? So we start to see, as we are curious and we start to understand what these things do, we understand better, you know, better how to better use them. And so I think this is an extremely, extremely dope use case. I will report back on how it goes with having it as part of the intensive. But so far, sharing it with my folks, they're all just like, yo, this is fucking awesome. And I'm like, I know. I do think you have to be a paid user. Like, don't quote me on that. But based on what the little FAQ thing from OpenAI said, I'm pretty sure you got to be a paid user in order to have this and be able to do this. But, like, for $20 a month, you can create a clone of, you can create a bunch of these, right? You can create a clone of yourself and send a link, and so people can stop asking you all the questions. That's amazing, right? Again, yes, put guardrails on things. And we do see, if we zoom out, we do see, you know, companies trying to use chatbots for customer service and, like, getting things wrong, and, like, there's problems with that. But, like, within your own business, I think there's a ton of utility, especially if you are still having communication with people and you're like, hey, use this first, you know, go through the things and then contact me if you have deeper questions, more questions, you want to elaborate, if it doesn't make sense. I think it's just a great first step. And so I'm really, really, really excited to use it with this cohort. And I will let you know how it goes. But that is all that I got for you for today. Hopefully you found this episode helpful. If you did, consider leaving a rating or a review. If you want to share it, you can, but this is a bit of a techie episode and folks might cry if this is their introduction, their first introduction to the podcast. So maybe just leave a rating. Maybe just leave a review. Don't forget also, I have a companion newsletter that drops every Thursday that is basically the episode in text format. So if you prefer to read or you just want that written record, join the newsletter fam. You can head to chatgptcurious.com/newsletter or just check out the link in the show notes. As always, endlessly, endlessly, endlessly appreciative for every single one. Until we chat again next Thursday, stay curious.